From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. It is no secret that Republicans have worked in a concerted manner at the state level for years to make it harder for Democratic-leaning voters to cast ballots in elections. People of color and young people have been dramatically impacted by the various voter ID laws that claim to be fighting voter fraud. Except that voter fraud doesn't really exist in any significant way, and the ID laws are clearly aimed at suppressing certain people's votes. Nowhere did that play out more shockingly in recent years than in the 2018 election in Georgia, where Stacey Abrams was poised to become that state's first female African-American governor. Now a new documentary by Brave New Films explores the facets of voter suppression in Georgia and demands action to restore voting rights. My guest is Robert Greenwald, the founder and president of Brave New Films, an award-winning television feature film and documentary filmmaker. He's known for such powerful films as Outfoxed, Rupert Murdoch's War on Journalism, and Walmart, The High Cost of Low Price, Koch Brothers Exposed, Unmanned, America's Drone Wars, and Making a Killing, Guns, Greed, and the NRA. He joins me now to discuss his newest film, Suppressed, The Fight to Vote. Welcome to the program, Robert.
Thank you. Nice to be with you again.
So why was it important for you to make this film? We've seen voter ID laws and the impacts on voting rights across the country in various states at various elections. Why did you pick Georgia 2018 and specifically the race between Brian Kemp and Stacey Abrams for governor?
The Georgia election is really a case study, and it's a warning cry, loud and clear, that if we don't organize, fight hard, and really work smart and intensively, we're going to see more of this voter suppression around the country. So what the film does is we dig into the personal stories. And, you know, I'm a New Yorker. I'm kind of cynical in some ways. And when I began the process, I didn't know if we would be able to find enough stories that would make a film. But as the amazing team of researchers and associate producers and producers and Casey and Lori came to me day after day with these extensive stories. I could have done a 10-hour miniseries, the number of people whose vote was suppressed. So I put the two things together, which was we needed the personal stories, because what I like to say about Brave New Films is we put a face on policy, and we certainly had the faces here. And then make sure that we make it a case history so that people understand all the efforts and all the laws and all the states around the country that require fighting. And the fact that the film is available for free is an important point so people can use it to organize.
And we'll get to exactly how they can do that and where they can watch it a little bit later in our conversation. But let's actually watch the trailer of the documentary. Again, it's called Suppressed, The Fight to Vote, and it's just been released by Brave New Films. Here's a snippet of the film.
On my mother's dying bed at 92 years old, former sharecropper, her last words were, "Do not let them take our votes away from us."
We are witnessing a tidal wave of voter suppression around the country. And Georgia, which is becoming ground zero.
Kemp is illegally removing people from Georgia's voters list.
And my vote will not be counted.
My vote was not counted.
Old people who can't vote, there's young people who can't vote, there's people in every county who can't vote.
I'm not gonna be able to vote myself.
Target people of color, poor people, the elderly.
We're human, we have our rights to vote just like anybody else.
This is systematic. If you look at what has happened across this country, 40 states have passed some kind of law to make it more difficult for people to vote.
Look at Alabama,
Arkansas,
North Carolina,
Ohio,
Kansas,
North Dakota,
Michigan,
Wisconsin,
and Georgia, which is becoming ground zero.
We are not going to let them take from us what our grandparents and parents fought and suffered and died to give us in the first place.
We are here to resist an ID law that is undemocratic, unconstitutional, and immoral.
Her last words were, "Do not let them take our votes away from us.
And that's the trailer for the brand new documentary film Suppressed, The Fight to Vote. And we'll tell you shortly where you can watch the film, how you can organize screening parties, and most importantly, what action you can actually take. Robert Greenwald is with me, the founder and president of Brave New Films, which actually released the documentary. Robert, how important was it to put this, what happened in Georgia, into a historical framework of, in particular, the Black-led fight to have the right to vote?
The historical framework and the continuing efforts were really important because it's not something that started yesterday. What is new, and we talk about it in the film, is it's not one person. It's not the Ku Klux Klan coming at night. It's not pure physical terrorism. But it's 5, 6, 7, 8 different ways that voter suppression is being implemented, was implemented in Georgia. And so what the film does is historical, but it really tells you today all the different ways, from moving polling places to voter ID, which you mentioned, to names that are hyphenated and therefore have a disproportionate number of African Americans who are disqualified, literally not being able to vote because a dash between their names is on the driver's license but is not on their social security. And as one of the folks says, it's about resource allocation. We have people in white districts who say, oh yeah, it was very pleasant, I came in. And then we have people who voting in heavily Democratic and African-American districts who tell us stories about waiting an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, and 6 hours to vote. I don't know about you, but I get impatient when it's 5 minutes. And I can't imagine the level of humiliation and anger at being forced to wait that long for what is a fundamental right of our country and a democracy.
Right. I mean, it's not like we get a day off to vote here in this country. It's not like there's any kind of financial incentive. In fact, you generally pay a financial price if you're a working person and maybe you work hourly. It's inconvenient. People do it because they want to have democratic participation in their government. So let's watch another clip from the film, referring specifically to what you were just saying about the long lines in districts that are primarily of people of color.
We have seen long lines.
Long lines still there. Wow.
We've got the research that shows that African Americans and Latinos who live in African American and Hispanic neighborhoods wait the longest in line to vote.
Some were here for 3 hours.
Here for 3 hours.
Others here for much longer.
4 or 5 hour wait.
5 hours.
It never died down.
This is way, way too long for us to stay and vote.
Whites who live in white neighborhoods wait the least amount of time in line to vote.
It was really good. The lines weren't too long and everyone was super helpful.
We don't hardly ever have to wait here. It's always a pleasant experience up here.
How that happens is resource allocation.
Make that resource unavailable to the people who you don't want to vote. And that's exactly what happened in the 2018 election here in the state of Georgia. In black neighborhoods, there were a quarter of the number of machines that were needed to service the population.
Everyone in the world knew we were going to vote today. All these dedicated people waiting to vote. This is what we call voter suppression.
And that's a clip from the documentary Suppressed, The Fight to Vote. With me still is Robert Greenwald, founder and president of Brave New Films. So, Robert, how can people watch the film? You said it's freely available online. And what exactly are you asking for people to do? Not as an, you know, of course, they can watch it individually, but you want them to actually take action in groups of people, right?
Exactly. So the film is available for free at Brave New Films. You can go to the website. And then we offer a series of tools to help you with screenings. Try to do it at a school, at a place of worship, at libraries around the country, bookstores, homes, political leaders. advocacy groups, Indivisible, I think I just heard they've got 20 or 30 screenings. Fair Fight has had over 100 screenings. And the point is, when you come together in a group and you watch a film, it increases the possibility, it increases the motivation, it increases the focus about taking action. Now, we never have decided, going back to At Fox or Walmart or any of the films, we've never decided here's the one thing you should do. But what we do is we offer on the website all of the groups who have worked with Anne over this last year to provide information, to give us leads about who to cast, and to go to those groups, depending on who you think will be the most effective and what your skill set is. So do you want to do local organizing? Do you want to do electoral work? Do you want to do ballot initiatives? I mean, there's so many different things that people can do. The key role that the film plays, we hope, is to connect the emotion and the thought process, to have people stirred up, to have people upset and angry, and then people doing something. And if they just watch the film and don't do anything, we've failed. But so far, the indications have been very strong from around the country. As already there are hundreds of screenings, and our goal, it's ambitious, but it's 2020 by 2020, meaning 2020 screenings before the 2020 elections.
I want to play one more clip from the film that covers another aspect of the suppression that took place specifically in Georgia, which was that thousands and actually tens of thousands of people never received their mail-in ballots. Here is Peggy's story.
My name is Peggy Hsu. I'm from Johns Creek, Georgia. I mailed out my absentee ballot application so that our registrar would send an absentee ballot. I checked my mailbox every day. It was like nearing the end of the month. And so I started calling the voter protection hotline. I called my registrar. I sent emails, and it was really, really getting close to the election date. And I never received my ballot. The election day came and went, and I wasn't able to vote in the end.
And that is Peggy, who is one of the many people in Georgia who is featured in the documentary Suppressed: The Fight to Vote, who never received her absentee ballot. Robert, your film points out that there were some 40,000 people in Georgia who didn't receive their ballots, and Kemp won the race against Stacey Abrams by about 50,000 something votes. So on the same order, that's shocking.
Yes, the statistics which we weave into the film really are very, very clear that if you take all of the different efforts around suppressing, again, in many different ways, purging. Kemp purged an incredible number of people from the ballot in the last year or so. Then you look at the polling places that they closed. And you tell the story very clearly that if you move polling places, people who have low income, don't have vehicles, have jobs that they can't miss, are elderly, those people are being penalized. And over and over and over again, it was done in districts. So remember, it's not that they're choosing individual people and saying, we're not going to let you vote. They are smarter than that. They're identifying districts that tend to be heavily African-American, heavily student, heavily Democratic, and therefore in those districts, putting the greatest efforts into taking away polling places, purging people, and using all of the semi-legal resources to make it difficult for people to vote.
And just a reminder, Brian Kemp, I mean, the reason why he was able to do all of this was because while he was running for governor, he was the Secretary of State of Georgia, which is precisely the position of power when it comes to the issue of voting rights. Now, a lot of this was unleashed by the Supreme Court's decision some years ago to strike down a critical part of the 1964 Voting Rights Act, right, Robert? Really shocking, because it was premised on this idea that we no longer have racism in America and race-based voter suppression in America, which, of course, we know to be completely untrue. So in order to beat back these attacks on people's right to vote, Are you hoping that your film inspires state-level activism or federal-level activism, or both?
All of the above, and city-level activism and community-level activism. I personally am a big believer in activism, and it can manifest itself in many different ways. But the first step is knowing, is being informed, is being aroused, is seeing right in front of us, here is systemic abuse. This is not an individual machine failing. This is not one corrupt politician. This is system-wide, and it's system-wide in Georgia. It's going to spread to other states. Now, the good news is there are people who are fighting the fights in different states. Some we've won on the side of fairness and democracy and patriotism, and some we've lost to the corruption of politicians who literally want to choose who the voters are rather than the voters choosing the politician.
Right.
So it's not an immediate, quick victory or defeat. It's going to be longer term. But if we don't start now, we're going to be paying a price in the 2020 elections, and none of us want that.
Tell me in particular about the stories in your documentary from African-American seniors who remember the blood lost and that was shed in winning the fight for African-Americans to vote decades ago, and who have now seen the rollback of that incredibly important battle that we thought was won.
Yes, well, that's the, you know, on some levels, the tragic part of this. The fact that we have to have a discussion today, this year, about people's right to vote is both disgusting and horrific and demands our attention. So in the film, one of the most powerful stories, and there are many, are Mr. Brooks, who's 89 years old, who says he's voted in every election, was a veteran of the war, and they were trying to close his polling place. He would not be able to vote had they moved and closed his polling place. Dr. Carol Anderson talks about that. She says the data is very clear. For each, I think it's each mile or 2 miles, you force somebody to go in order to vote, there's a drop off in voting percentage. There's a veteran who says very clearly, listen to this, it was easier to vote absentee when he was in Iraq than it was to vote absentee when he was one state over from Georgia. I mean, that's what we all are dealing with, and that's why I hope it will be a call to action, a call to arms, and many people who've seen other films and who haven't will see this one, will be motivated to say, yes, I can do something. Yes, I will do something. This is what patriotism and democracy really is about.
And, you know, it's not just, of course, the gubernatorial race in Georgia. We have a nationwide effort in various states. And also we have our own president right now who made the outrageous claim that the reason why he lost the popular vote in 2016 was because there were these millions of illegals voting, quote unquote, undocumented immigrants in his mind voting for Hillary Clinton, which is why he says he lost the popular vote, which is, of course, part of his white supremacist agenda. And you can't just, of course, blame Trump, right? The white supremacist agenda of the Republican Party has been couched in suppressing the vote of people of color. What else can you call it if you're systematically suppressing the voting power of people of color? It's based on the premise that whites are superior.
Yes, and that Black people and people of color and students should not be able to vote. We even have a clip in the film of a Republican basically saying that if all of these people vote, then we're going to be in trouble in terms of keeping our jobs. So again, it's very important fundamentally, rather than these elected officials and their supporters working to reach the voters, what they're working to do is stop people from voting. And, you know, we've seen that. We've seen it with poll taxes. We've seen it with terrorism for years ago. I never expected that we'd be fighting this fight again today, but we are, and we can't hide from it. It's a critically important. You know, all the efforts that gone into registering people to vote and getting out the vote, critical, important, millions and millions of dollars. But if those people are not allowed to vote, then those efforts are going to be for nothing.
So we have just about a year before the next election. You said you're hoping to have 2020 screenings of the documentary by 2020 and the 2020 election. Specifically, what can be done in this year? So say someone, you know, next week organizes a house party, watches the film, they get a copy of the discussion guide, which lays out some very specific actions they can take ahead of the next election.
There'll be the discussion guide. There's a guide for those who watch in places of faith orientation called reflection guides. And they primarily encourage people to think about the different options. Again, then if you go to the website, depending where your interest is, you can find multiple groups that you can decide to get involved with and decide how to get involved. Is it as a volunteer? Is it making phone calls? Is it working for some of the national legislation? Is it working for the state legislation? The variety really is infinite. So there's no reason that every single person can't do something. And it can start by signing up, doing a screening. Bring three people together in your home. Bring 10 people together at your workplace and show it on your phone during lunch. Bring 20 people together at the bowling alley and have it on your phone. There are so many ways today where the technology is actually ahead of where we are. But this film was made to be shown in all those possible places so that it can have a real impact. And also so that at the end of the day, come 2020, I don't think anybody wants to wake up in the morning after the election and think they didn't do every possible thing they're capable of doing.
Right. The film, again, available at fighttovote.com. And as you suggested, people can actually watch it on their phone. It's not very long. You can watch it in your lunch hour because it's 38 minutes long. So just long enough to hold the attention of a group of people and still have time left over for a discussion. Robert, you're known for making very, very useful tools for activists, and it certainly looks like this is one of them. The website where you can watch the film is fighttovote.com, or you can also get it through Brave New Films' website. So fighttovote.com. We'll link to that and also embed the documentary on our website. Robert, thank you so much, as always, for joining us.
Thank you for all your help and for spreading the word. And thanks to all of the audience. Counting on you, as always, to get involved, take action, and make change.
My guest has been Robert Greenwald, founder and president of Brave New Films, award-winning television, feature film, and documentary filmmaker. We've been discussing his latest film, Suppressed, The Fight to Vote. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RUWithSonali.